I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to The Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we are going to be talking about cultivating company culture. Yay. So this is something near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. So I looked up a few statistics.
You like the statistic thing.
We're gonna start with this.
That's good. Everybody likes statistics. Are they verified?
Are they verified by me? And that's all that matters.
CDC statistics.
I am the CDC. Okay.
We'll trust your numbers, Kara. What are they?
Okay, 75% of people don't quit their jobs, they quit their bosses. Mm,
I would agree with that.
I like that.
I think it's higher.
I do too. I was going to say probably more like 90 to 95%.
Okay, companies with engaged employees outperform those without them by 202%.
Wow. I'd like to see the math on that. But I like, yes. I like the trend though.
I could not do that math because I'm not a math person, but you could. And the last one is, peers and camaraderie are the number one reasons that employees go the extra mile, not money.
That's good.
Interesting.
Yep.
So I think that's especially true with the younger generation.
Right.
Absolutely. I wonder how COVID has affected all that, you know, in terms of those statistics and how they amplify, you know, the worst side of culture and not disconnectivity.
Yeah, I think it's brought out the best and the worst.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
it definitely has.
Yeah.
I think it's made it harder for camaraderie because when you're sitting in front of a computer, you even if you're face-to-face with that person over a screen, it's not the same as in person.
Because we were built for relationships, right, face-to-face.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. So when I started my business, I started it 100% for this reason, company culture. I knew as a single mom that I was going to be missing work a lot with my children. I also knew when I first came to work for you, I told you that I did not want to work 40 plus hours a week right away. So I knew that I needed to create a company and a culture that worked for that.
You gave you flexibility.
Yes. Right. So this is something that I feel very passionate about. So through your past experiences, and everyone has these, tell me, Chris, what you have learned about creating and cultivating a culture.
So the cool thing with the stage that we're at, we've all worked for good companies and we work for companies that are not so good.
Right?
So we've got some experience versus when you first come out of school, if it's your first job, it's like, hey, this is great. Well, it may be great until you get your second job. It's like, that place is horrible. So I think kind of what I've learned is that the leadership sets the culture, right? And so if there's certain things that are important to that leader, the organization is going to follow that. The challenge, though, is if someone's in a leadership position and they have some things that are really important to them that are not important to the employees, you're in trouble.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it really happens when we're doing a startup, so it's kind of easy. We can build the culture that we want. The harder part is when a company's been around for 20, 30, 40 years, and that first generation, the founders leave, and then the next group comes in. And a lot of the early businesses going back 40 or 50 years ago, people didn't think about culture, right? Mm-hmm. So today we talk a lot about, I'll talk about a book here in a minute. So I think part of it is the leadership has to set the culture and they have to maintain and enforce it.
Good point.
Buddy, what have you learned?
I'm a simpleton and I think of culture just as the way we do things sort of inherently, unconsciously, just involuntarily. And I think a lot of times leaders try to manufacture that and really they need to focus on the why. Why are we here? And in my space, I'm looking, you know, more external projection and customer and client relations, and they need to understand why we're here. And that all impacts the culture. But then, you know, for me, where I found it most effective is that I have a position as a business development person to relay that back to our team, the people, the staff that aren't really engaged with the clients. What you're doing is important to make sure that they understand the why they're spending 16, 18 hours a day on a certain project, that, you know, they see the engineering side of it, but they don't see the other things that maybe the buyers that we're working with are looking at, such as environmental stewardship or, you know, just overall, not just the engineering side of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And one thing that I've learned about culture is that, and you kind of touched on this, sometimes what's important to the management or the owner is not always what's important to the employees. Right. So we have to continuously evaluate, is this really what my employees want? Is it bonuses that they want, or is it
lifestyle,
better health insurance, right, or yeah, is it a flexible schedule? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? And another thing is that the younger generation, it's not the same for all of them. So I think you have to be very flexible in what you have. You might have to have a different, several different health plans, several different work options, maybe office, at home, hybrid. You just have to think about that and offer multiple options.
Well, and it's kind of a generational thing too, right? I mean, kind of if you go back to like my grandparents' generation, who were like the World War II generation, you know, my grandfather, they all came back from World War II and they just worked, right? It was their job. It's like, well, you got a job and you just go do it. Today, right, the young people coming out of college, and I know I've got a couple of them in our house, is they want a good work experience, right? Mm-hmm. So the problem is you've got these multi generations within the same workplace, and sometimes your culture has to shift, because just like you said, you've got to figure out what do the employees want, and the culture's got to be built around that. And I think there's probably always a give and a take, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody lays Absolutely. The law down.
Yeah, there's a balance, but the good thing that you're listening, you understand what the why is behind the business and what's going on with your employees of a younger generation, yeah, or a different generation.
Well, the thing you talked about that I thought was really kind of cool, of course, being the sales guy, you're going to work that in, mm-hmm, right, is that if you have a really good culture, employees are having fun and they're mm-hmm. contributing, productive, and they're really doing a good job, clients see that, yeah, mm-hmm, right? And they're going to want to work with a company that has a good culture versus they work with someone that just gets the job done. You know, mm-hmm, after a while, the company that just gets the job done, they're going to get smoked by somebody who's really worked hard and has a good culture.
That's right. Great point. So.
And that goes right into our next point of like how our current roles affect culture. So for me, with marketing, for a lot of my clients, I think it's very important to do post and to talk about your culture mm-hmm. with your clients. It's not just enough to get the job done and to be on time and to be on budget. All of that is extremely important. Right. But other companies can do that too. It's about how you treat your employees, how you treat the people you work with.
Yeah.
So I feel like your job is pretty easy on how you influence culture, but expand on that a little more.
So, of course, I'm always going to have a book. So the book I've got today is Traction by Gina Wickman. And we're big fans of Traction. Yeah. I know mm-hmm. Buddy kind of went through it even before I kind of got into it. So we have a consultant named Jeff Bain. Jeff, hopefully you'll watch this. I mean, he is Jeff. Awesome.
Yes.
And we're not easy to manage because we've got a lot of energy and we're probably some of the more subdued of our staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he can manage this circus. But it's what one of the things that he did, which I think was brilliant. So he got on a whiteboard and he said, I want you to list for me 2 to 3 employees that you think are great employees or people you'd like to work for ABV. He said, but they can't be in this room. So he gives us a couple of minutes. And so we do our little thing. And then he starts listing all these names on the board. And what was cool, we had a couple of employees that they were listed multiple times. So mm-hmm. maybe you'd like them, I'd like them. And then, so that's kind of the first column. Then the second column, he said, well, tell me what is it about this person that you like? Mm-hmm. So he started listing the traits. And so he basically went through this process and eventually he identified 5, which mm-hmm. I thought were really cool. Now, I love acronyms because it helps me remember things. So he did make an acronym for us, but I got the 5 things. I'm sitting on my couch and actually wrote a LinkedIn article about it. And it was part of my speech.
That's great.
So I'm like,
I read it.
I know. Well, thank you. Yeah, you're better than my kids. They don't read anything I write. But, so basically, our 5 core values, the acronym is TREAT, which I really like because mm-hmm. our core values determine how we treat employees.
Absolutely.
And so the first one is trustworthy. Okay, we want our employees to be able to trust them. It's a super important part, especially in a consulting business because we trust people with information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next one is resourceful, which means if you've got a job to do, you got to figure out how to do it. You can ask for help, but ultimately you're responsible. So TR, the E is encouraging, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll be honest with you, that's kind of me. It's like when I'm around people, I want people to feel encouraged.
Absolutely.
So even when we had difficult conversations, when someone leaves my office, even if I've had to talk about difficult things, I want them to leave encouraged.
Yeah.
So that's TRE. And then A is accommodating. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to say accountability, but what accommodating means is, and everyone knows what this is, when someone asks you to do something, you don't go, Like, I'm a big huffer, okay? So most of my life, I would say I've not been accommodating. But in organization, if you have someone who doesn't go with the flow, they just really stick out. And then the last one is, and we wanted to say fun, but the acronym would be TREEF, and I don't know what a TREEF is. So we came up
with... Doesn't sound good.
It doesn't exactly... TREEF's like a disease or something. The next thing from the CDC is COVID and TREEF. But the T is for teamwork. And I think that's, you know, we talked about Lightning McQueen last time. Teamwork is so important. And I think we all value that. Absolutely. So anyway, I love our core values. Everything we do, and especially for me as president, is I always go to those core values, and I want everyone in our company to know those.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Buddy, have you seen how a culture at your company, like, persuaded a client to work with y'all?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you could pick any number of those values, but I see it in over the last 2 or 3 months. I mean, the level of trust, we are involved in a number of high-profile type analysis and engineering, you know, projects. But I really like the, you know, the accommodation. It's, I always think of my pleasure, you know, or the the balance of empathy and ego, and that's really what started that part of that discussion was, you know, as we want to serve our clients, but at the same time we are high capacity. We do a lot of good things. We want to make sure that's projected out to the clients. They want to see that, right? Mm-hmm. So Chris emphasizes white papers, green papers.
Yeah, green papers now.
Yes, yeah. And a number of industry events like IDT Expo, and that's just all so that we can show our culture, show who we are and what we're about.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. So what is one practical step or one practical tidbit of advice that our listeners can take and implement this into their life, either business or personal, and start seeing results from?
Yep. So I've got two parts, so we'll say A and a B. So A is you have to develop core values, right? And if you want, the Traction book talks about that. So assuming that you have core values, and I'll be honest with you, Kara, a lot of companies don't. I bet a lot of your clients, if you walked in there and said, what are your core values? They're like, I don't know.
Or they are what they think their customer wants to hear, and they're just not authentic at all. Right.
So anyway, maybe that's a consulting opportunity for you. But I do think as a company, once you establish core values, everything you do is built around that, right? So who you hire, who you fire. I mean, we have some folks who are no longer part of ADV because they didn't fit our culture. Your compensation, how you discipline. Yeah. So everything is really built around those core values. So anyway, ours are recently developed, you know, within the past quarter, but they're going to be part of who we are going forward. And everybody's going to know them. One of the things I'm going to do is we're going to print them out. You're going to make a poster for us. And I'm going to have little cards for everybody to have in their wallet. And eventually, when it's not very hard to remember. If I can remember it, they can. Right. But I'm going to start walking around with $20 bills. It's like, hey, Tyler, what are our core values? Oh, no. $20 for me, you know. So eventually you build a culture where people know what they are and we use them.
Yeah.
Can I get in on the $20?
You can.
Okay.
Yeah. You can.
One of the things
you
I like
develop
about
them, so. Yeah.
One of the things I like about what you do, Chris, is that you're very involved even in the interviewing process. Mm-hmm. As we go through the development, you're always stopping by people's offices, just engaging people in the back. You have your weekly safety meetings. You know what's going on in the company, and you know, though we're small and it may be a bigger challenge as we get bigger, but that really does help with culture and, you know, and getting a feel for it. Can creep, it can change. We mentioned that it's dynamic, it doesn't ever stay the same, and people that think that it does really get left behind.
Right. That's a good point.
Yes. I think that you said develop core values. I completely agree. I think you need to sit down and literally make a list of thinking about business and personal life. What do I want? What do I aspire to be? What am I? And what do I not want? Yeah. And I think that's a very good first step to coming up with your core values.
For sure.
So I know my list of like what I don't want to be is like this long. Like what I want to be is like this long.
Accentuate, and that's kind of a positive life thing too, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's important to figure out, you know, where you are in your life. What do I not want to become? And ask people, do you see these things? I mean, be transparent and vulnerable with people, which is not easy to do.
You know what? I saw a really funny TikTok, and it was a boss that like was tracking her dating life, and it was about like what she didn't want, what she wanted, what she had, what she didn't have, like past relationships. I feel like we need a whiteboard, but it's gonna have to be like the size of this house to track all my mistakes.
Yeah, what you don't want.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you show up at a date with a clipboard. That's probably not.
I wasn't expecting a TikTok reference. Yeah. Good job.
That's good. Yeah.
Wow. I'm just trying to keep y'all young.
That's yeah, great. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Good culture. Good cultural moment. Yeah, yeah. For me, I want to stress one other thing. I mean, I think the core values are extremely important, obviously, to maintain that why behind the culture, mm-hmm. but also the formation of your history, right?
Right.
And understanding that you have a story to tell. The industry maybe, you know, that you're working in isn't interested as you are in that story, but you have it there for them to understand where your baseline is, right? And why you're doing the things you're doing.
Yeah. It's kind of like family photos, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a 5 second, nice.
Oh, that's then, nice, but I don't want to see all your family photos vacation. Yeah. Even if you went to Colorado. Yeah.
Reminds me of my Easter photos where all my kids were like this.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw those.
Yeah. Apparently my core values at home aren't working. Okay, so what is the main takeaway from this podcast? What I liked that Buddy said is that owners need to be involved in coming up with the core values, even as you get bigger. I think as your company grows and you get bigger, even small, and you're trying to handle all the different hats that you're having to wear, that sometimes we have a tendency to delegate things that we should not delegate. Yeah. So this is one of the things that I don't feel an owner should ever delegate. They should get lots of input from people, but they should be the ones that's making the final decisions.
That's good. Yeah, because they need to own it.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Chris, what about you?
Man, we talked about a lot of good stuff today. I do agree with you. I think the owner or the president or CEO, you know, he or she need to embrace those core values, and they need to constantly remind people, right? Because we have short memories, you know. And this book talks a lot about is that like you have to hear something 7 times before it really becomes part of your DNA. And sometimes you feel like a broken record, like me walking around and giving $20 bills. It's a little cheesy, but what happens a year from now, everybody understands, and they can hold each other accountable, right? So like two employees have an interaction and one of them doesn't feel encouraged and say, look, man, I didn't feel encouraged in that.
Yeah.
And I think when you can get employees that start thinking like that, man, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. And it makes leadership easier, right? When everybody buys into it, it's like you don't have to walk around and be dogmatic about it. It's just part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of stole mine because it is. The culture is the mortar that kind of holds. Yeah, you did. You connected there. So, you know, I will expand out on the client engagement, but culture is the mortar that holds the bricks together in your office, because Chris is not everywhere, I'm not everywhere, you're not everywhere. So employees are engaging, and hopefully they take those values and engage each other, right? And that's how you have sustainability. But for me, it's beyond, you know, having a productive workplace, but with clients that are engaging our people, I want them to have a great experience, right? Yeah. And that is can only come from a solid culture. You can produce good work product, you can actually do very good work technically, but if you're not engaging them in the right way and looking out for their best interest and applying the core values there, you're going to have a report that goes in the desk and then it gets lost forever. And that's one of my biggest, you know, fears in terms of what we do at ADV.
Right. Yeah. You want to last.
Yes, absolutely. I want it to be helpful and beneficial.
Yes. Cool. Definitely. Well, I think that having a great culture and also showing that in your marketing is what's going to keep you top of mind for clients.
Yeah. So. You do a good job of that.
Good.
Okay. Well, this was a great episode.
It was.
Short
topic.
And sweet. Yes. Yep. So we're doing lots of these. Next episode is going to be about finding a mentor and meeting with them regularly.
That's good.
I like that. That's a good one.
Y'all are both kind of mine, so I'm winning right here.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm going to tear up.
Yeah,
here.
I know.
I'm feeling it.
Where's the tissue?
All right, join us in 2 weeks when we talk about mentors, and subscribe and follow us on any platforms where you listen to your podcast. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.